أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله، فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء، والله على كل شيء قدير. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون، كلنا آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله، وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا، غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها، لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت، وربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أخطأنا، ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا، ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به، واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، ولله الحمد. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو، عالم الغيب والشهادة، هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو، الملك القدوس السلام، المؤمن المهيمن، العزيز الجبار، عزيز الجبار المتكبر. سبحان الله، سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور، له الأسماء الحسنى، يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض، وهو العزيز الحكيم. الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن ولا وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters and elders, today we come to the conclusion of this great and beautiful surah, Suratul Hujurat, and also the last of this series of lectures on akhlaq as derived from the ayat of this surah of the Quran. Inshallah, two things. One, that at the end of this session, at the end of today, before the end of this weekend, inshallah, you will have on our website this entire series of lectures, as well as a book called Akhlaq, which has the text of all of these lectures, inshallah. Do read them, do download them, most welcome to distribute, and so on and so forth. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, as with all our Islamic activity, the only royalty you have to pay is to make dua for us, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the last ayat of Suratul Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، قالت الأعراب آمنا، قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا، ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم، وإن تطيعوا الله ورسوله لا يلتكم من أعمالكم شيئا، إن الله غفور رحيم. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ قل أتعلمون الله بدينكم والله يعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض والله بكل شيء عليم يمنون عليك أن أسلموا قل لا تمنوا علي إسلامكم بل الله يمن عليكم أن هداكم للإيمان إن كنتم صادقين إن الله يعلم غيب السماوات والأرض والله بصير بما تعملون Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, the Bedouin say, we believe. قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ آمَنَّ The Arab, they say, we believe. Say, قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you do not believe, but you only say, we have surrendered in Islam. Not آمَنَّا, but أَسْلَمْنَا My brothers and sisters and elders, I remind myself and you, the purpose of reading the Quran and trying to understand it is not because it's some story about some Bedouins which happened in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is to ask ourselves this question. All of us say, Amanna. All of us say, we have Iman. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting a condition there. And Allah is saying, you do not have Iman. You have only entered Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, what will constitute the accepting of Iman, what will constitute the entry of Iman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, we have aslamna, we have surrendered in Islam, for faith has not yet entered your heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Iman has not entered your heart. وَلَمَّ يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ The Iman has not entered your hearts. But if you obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He will not decrease anything in reward for your deeds. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oft forgiving, most merciful. Condition of Iman is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not conditional obedience, complete obedience. Conditional obedience is disobedience. Please understand very clearly. If you conditionally obey something, if you say that from Islam, I will obey this one and I will not obey that one, That means you are being disobedient because you are saying some things of Islam you will not do. This is disobedience. Don't fool yourself. It is not obedience. Conditional obedience is disobedience. Obedience in Islam means to enter Islam completely because Allah said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udkhulu fis-silmi kaffatan wala tattabi'u khutuwati shaitan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Who are the believers? إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا Allah said, only those are the believers who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after that, they did not doubt. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا They believed and then they did not doubt. They accepted Islam and they did not disobey, no matter what. And then they strive with their wealth and their lives for the cause of Allah. Those are the truthful. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will you inform Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about your religion? Does Allah need you to tell him that you are believers? While Allah knows all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all aware of everything. They regard as a favor upon you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they have embraced Islam. They accepted Islam and they think that it is a favor on you. Say to them, do not count your Islam as a favor upon me. Nay, but Allah has conferred a favor upon you that He guided you to the faith if you indeed are true. Verily Allah knows the unseen of the heavens and the earth and Allah is the all-seer of what you do. The Asbab al-Nuzul from the book of excellent book on Asbab al-Nuzul of the ayat of Quran of Al-Wahidi. It says in that book that these ayats were revealed about some desert Arabs from the Banu As'ad ibn Khuzaymah. They went to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina because there was drought in that year. They declared themselves to be believers outwardly, but were actually disbelievers. They dirtied the streets of Medina with excrement and caused a rise in the prices. They used to say to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "We have come to you with dependence and refrained from fighting against you, unlike such and such a tribe. So give us alms, give us charity." They kept mentioning to him the favors that they thought that they had done, and Allah then revealed these ayats about these people. Question I remind myself to ask myself, and I request you to ask yourself. Let us ask the same questions to ourselves. Do you think our iman is a favor to Allah? I know nobody says that, but we act like that. We don't say it, but we act like this. Whatever we have is thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we say do something for Allah, you are not giving it to Allah. Nobody can give Allah anything. The question is, we do it for ourselves. The important thing is, what we do depends on how important we think is the result of that action. And that is the question to ask ourselves. Investment is proportional to the expected return. Nobody invests in something where they expect the return to be less. People will invest everything in something which they expect the return to be great. Even though in these returns of the world, there is no absolute certainty that there will actually be a return, whatever it is. All of these are promises by people who do not have the power to keep their promise. Not that they are dishonest necessarily, but they promise, but they do not have the power to keep their promise. Yet we invest. Why? Because we expect the best return. Question to ask ourselves is, what is our expectation from Allah Jalla wa Ala? There are three conditions of belief, my brothers and sisters, as we know. To believe in the heart, to say it aloud, and to act according to that belief. There are three conditions of belief. It's not just enough to say La ilaha illallah. If a person wants to enter Islam, what must he do? And a person wants to remain in Islam, what must he do? He must believe in his heart on La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And then he must say it aloud. And then he or she must act according to La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. What is the meaning of acting according to La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah? To act according to La ilaha illallah is to worship none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not to simply to say that Allah is worthy of worship, but when the time comes to worship, to actually worship. And to understand that when we say no one is worthy of worship, the word of ibadah means obedience also, ita'at. Therefore, we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely and totally in everything that He has ordered us to do, without exception, without selectiveness, and without selecting this to do and that we don't want to do. Number two, what is the meaning of believing Muhammadur Rasulullah? Is to believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is no messenger after him, is to obey him completely and totally, and to obey his sunnah, and to make ittiba of his sunnah. This is the meaning of Muhammadur Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah is the complete essence of Islam. This one kalima alone is the complete essence of Islam. If somebody understands this kalima and somebody genuinely and sincerely follows this kalima, then that person will completely be inside Islam. The only way that we end up in a problem is because we say we believe, but we actually do not follow the kalima. And that is what is being drawn to our attention in the surah Al-Hujurat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that about the people who are mentioned in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْقَابُوا. They did not doubt thereafter. وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنْفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a certificate and said, only these people are the truthful people. Ask yourselves, I ask myself, do we want a certificate from Allah that so and so is a truthful person? Say yes or no. We want this or we don't want this? Very simple. Same law, same logic, same everything applies from those days to these days, to these days. And what do we need to do? Believe in our hearts, say it with our tongue, and completely and totally obey. Selective obedience is disobedience. As simple as that. Selective obedience is disobedience. I will do this one because I like it. I will not do that one because I don't like it. I will follow this sunnah because it suits me. I will not follow that sunnah because it doesn't suit me. Is actually disobedience. I remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the states of our hearts. Nobody can deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And about those who try, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّ بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and of mankind, there are some hypocrites who say, we believe in Allah and in the last day, while in fact they do not believe. They think and they try to deceive Allah and they try to deceive the believers, while they only deceive themselves, and even that they do not perceive. In their hearts is a disease of doubt and hypocrisy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has increased this disease. A painful torment will be theirs because they used to tell lies. My brothers and sisters, the ability to hold two opposing ideas in your mind is a sign of intelligence. The ability to hold two opposing beliefs in your heart is a sign of nifaq, of hypocrisy. Please understand this. To hold two opposing ideas in your mind is a sign of intelligence, and to hold two opposing beliefs in your heart is a sign of stupidity, because there is nothing more stupid than a hypocrite. So it's not what we say but what we do which counts. People don't care what we say until they see what we do. Neither does Allah. And that's why I always say, people listen with their eyes, not with their ears. You can talk till the cows come home, nobody believes you. They will believe what you actually do. Applies to your children, applies to everyone. And that's why let us look into our hearts and look into our actions and see if they reflect the basic conditions of iman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in these ayats. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also saying with great emphasis that it is not for anyone to list the favors that he or she thinks they are doing to Allah or to Islam. Nobody does any favor to Allah or to Islam for two major reasons. First one, without the tawfiq from Allah and without the resources that he granted us, we would never be able to do anything at all for him or his deen. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then rewards us for what we spend in his path at a minimum of 1:10. At a minimum of 1:10. So when you are using somebody else's resources, and when you use some of those resources for that person, and that person then rewards you at a rate of 1000%, that's a favor you are doing to him, or is it a favor he is doing to you? Which one? And that's precisely what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this ayat, where he said, قُلْ تُعَلِّمُونَ اللَّهَ بِدِينِكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah said, say, will you inform Allah about your religion? Are you trying to tell Allah what a great Muslim you are? But Allah knows, while Allah knows all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth, and Allah is aware of everything. They regard as a favor upon you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they have come into Islam. Say, tell them, do not count your Islam as a favor upon me. Nay, but Allah has conferred a favor upon you that he has guided you to the faith. If you indeed are true, verily Allah knows the unseen of the heavens and the earth, and Allah is the all-seer of what you do. My brothers and sisters, thankfulness, shukr, is at the root of all good, and treason is the worst of all crimes. It is treason to take something from someone and then try to use it against that person. What then do we say about our faculties, our wealth and our strengths, all of which we were given by Allah unasked, but which we don't hesitate to use in things which he prohibited? How do we justify looking at haram, listening to haram, speaking haram, earning and spending haram, and seeking entertainment and relaxation in haram? We wouldn't be able to do any of those things if Allah had not given us our faculties, our health and our wealth. Yet we have no hesitation and we feel no shame whatsoever in using those gifts of Allah in things that anger Allah. This is a very dangerous game, my brothers and sisters. Let us cease and desist and let us not play such games. Let us take lessons from the lives of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain about what they did with the blessings of Allah. A very poor man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him for charity, asked him for some alms. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go to Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. The man went to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu's house. It was getting close to Maghrib. It was getting dark. He was about to knock on the door when he overheard a conversation from inside the house. He heard Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu saying to his wife, lower the wick of the lamp. It uses too much of oil. So this man thought, where has Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent me? He sent me to this man who is telling his wife to lower the wick of the lamp. I mean, what level of stinginess is that? So what can this man give me? So he didn't even knock on the door, he turned around and walked away. And after going some distance, he thought to himself, well, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent me to him. Let me at least complete the action and go and ask the man. Maybe Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows something about this man which I don't know. So he turned around, went back again, and he knocked on the door. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu opened the door. The man said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has sent me to you. I'm a poor man, and he asked me to ask you to give me something. So Sayyidina Uthman told him, wait a second. He went inside, brought a bunch of keys, walked him to his warehouse. He opened the door of the warehouse, was full of things, and he said, take whatever you want. When you're finished, bring back the keys. And he walked away. This man was in shock. Right? He was shocked. So as Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was walking away, the man called out to me. He said, hold on, wait a second. He said, what? He said, I've got a question. I've got to ask you something. He said, I came here a few minutes ago and I was about to knock on your door when I overheard this conversation between you and maybe your wife, somebody in the house, where you were telling her, lower the wick of the lamp because it uses up too much of oil. And he said, I thought to myself, what a stingy man. He said, I walked away, but then I thought, maybe Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent me to you, so must be something. So I came back, and now when I ask you for charity, when I ask you for alms, you are opening the door of the warehouse, and you are leaving me, and you are saying, take whatever you want. And when you are finished, bring back the keys. Oh, how does it, these two things, how do they match? Uthman radiallahu anhu said, that is very simple. One is spending, the other one is investment. One is expense, the other one is investment. Now those last two words are not Sayyidina Uthman's words. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu said, for the first one, Allah will hold me to account. He said, Allah will ask me, what happened? How did you spend? And for the second one, Allah will reward me. And the words I use for the two, one is expense, the other one is investment. Expense is that what you spend for which there is no result. Investment is that which you spend for which there is a return. Right? My accountant friends, I see some of them here. Have you ever heard ROE? Return on expense? No. ROI. Right? What do you do in your balance sheets? So my brothers and sisters, expense or investment, it is up to us to remind ourselves. And let us differentiate between these two things in our own lives. And minimize expenses and maximize investments. For we too will be questioned about our expenses. And we will be rewarded for our investments. Very, very important for us to keep this in mind. Because we don't know when the bell will ring. But we know that it will ring. It will ring for you, it will ring for me. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that day the best day of our lives. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make those actions of ours the best actions of our lives. A man came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he made this dua and he said, oh Allah, make the last of my days the best of my days and the last of my actions the best of my actions. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen, and he said, that is a very good dua. So if you make this dua for yourself and I make this dua for all of you, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the last of our days the best of our days. And the last of our actions, the best of our actions. Ameen ya Rabb. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts this dua and we have complete certainty and faith, inshaAllah, when we make dua, that Allah will accept. Because Allah said, Ud'uni astajib lakum. He said, ask me and I will give you. And I will accept. So this is Allah is telling us to ask, and we have asked. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept. What does that mean? If we really believe and understand this dua that we made, what does it mean? If I say, oh Allah, make the last of my actions the best of my actions, then I'm saying that maybe, I don't know, but this action of mine of giving this khutbah in Jummah, maybe the last action that I do on this earth. And I ask Allah to make it the best action. After this Jummah, if I do something else, then that is the last action. And after that, if I do something else, then that is perhaps the last action. And so on, until I reach the actual last action, which I do not know. We don't know how far away from today and this moment it is. Maybe it is 5 minutes away. Maybe it is a longer period. We don't know. But we know that every action of ours is potentially the last action. And every day of ours is potentially the last day. I want to remind myself and you, I was just in Dhaka yesterday. I came back last night and I was giving a lecture on death and hereafter. And I told them a story which happened to me when I used to be in the tea plantations. In tea, we plant Grevillea robusta silver oaks as shade between the tea bushes. And this shade has to be of a, it has to be, we have to have a certain percentage of shade, not too much, not too less. So every year, these shade trees are lopped. So you climb up 20 feet, 15 feet, 20 feet in the air on the tree, and you lop some of these branches. And there was a man, one of the workers, who climbed up there, and he was lopping, and there was a whole bunch of them, they were doing this work. And he was sitting in a fork of the tree, 20 feet up in the air. When he started, he didn't feel good. So he maybe felt dizzy or something. So he dropped his pruning knife from the top, and he climbed down, and the people gathered, and he told them, I'm not feeling well. So they said, shall we take you to the hospital? The man said, no, I just give me some water. So they gave him some water. He drank some water. He sat there for a while. He rested for maybe half an hour or something. And then he said, I'm feeling fine. They said, shall we take you to the hospital? Hospital is here. We'll take you there. He said, no, I'm absolutely fine. No problem. I just felt bad, but now I'm okay. The man then climbed up. He took his knife. He climbed up back in the tree. He sat in the fork, and he died. He died up 20 feet up in the air in the fork of a tree, and we had to lower him from there because he was dead. He climbed down, and then he climbed up back again, and then he died. Because that was his qadr. His qadr was to die in the fork of that tree. So when he climbed down, he was then able to climb back up. The last of our actions, the best of our actions. The last of our deeds, the best of our deeds. The last of our days, the best of our days. And that is why I want to remind you and myself, let us constantly keep this in our mind. Every single action, every single word that leaves our mouth, every single thing that we do is potentially the last one that we have been, that has been decreed for us. It is potentially the last one that has been decreed for us. And therefore, I remind myself and you, let us constantly think about that, reflect and think about the potential result of this deed. This action of mine, is it likely to anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is it likely to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This speech of mine, what I'm about to say, is it likely to anger Allah, or is it likely to please Allah? And believe me, there is no great mystery. There's no great mystery. You know and I know. Every single action of ours, every single word of ours that leaves our lips, we know before we speak that thing, and we know before we do that thing, whether potentially it can anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it something that Allah will like, or is it something that Allah will dislike? Is no mystery. We know this. And in the unlikely event that we don't know, then what must we do? Be silent. Do nothing until you clarify. Then once you clarify, then if it is correct, do it. If it is not correct, don't do it. Seriously, 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 I remind myself and you, it is not worth the risk to die on something which incurs the anger of Allah. You do not want to die after angering Allah. Do you want to die after angering Allah? Yes or no? What is the silence supposed to be? Silence if you are a bride and the person says, are you ready to marry so and so, your silence means yes. But I don't see any brides here. Do you want to die on something that angers Allah? Yes or no? Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you from that. Then do not do anything which angers Allah. Do not do anything which angers Allah. Do not disobey Allah. do not break the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No matter who tells you what, no matter who says what, there is no obedience to the makhluk in the disobedience of the khaliq. There is no obedience to the creatures in the disobedience of the creator. Please understand this. You are not bound to obey anybody if they are telling you to do something which is against the orders of Allah and which is against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you do it, then you are personally responsible. You cannot then tie the turban of blame on your mother or your father or your friend or your teacher or whoever. You cannot blame them. You simply cannot blame them. If you do it, it is your action and you are responsible. Make no mistake, it is my job to tell you as clearly as I can, and I am doing my best to say it as clearly as I can. The decision obviously is in your hands, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill your hearts with His noor and to fill your hearts with love for Him, which will make it such that you will be compelled to do only that which pleases Him. And I ask Allah to be pleased with you for that reason. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stop you with khair from anything that incurs His disobedience, so that you are only able to do that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill your lives with barakah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your du'as. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those of your du'as which are not decreed for you in this world, to keep those du'as with Him, so that when you are presented before Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to you, you asked me this du'a, now ask me what you want and I will give you, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill the qubur of all those of your friends and relatives and children and parents who have died before you with noor. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease them. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them and to protect them from the azab of the qabr and to resurrect them with Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of judgment, and to give them the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a day when there will be no shade except His shade. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to join all of you with them, insha'Allah al-musta'an. I ask Allah to accept the dua that I have made. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us all the khair of everything which is Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all of you from all the shar that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask protection from. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adha minhu nabiyuka Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balagh, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil karim wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain, bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin, wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.